All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
I'll bust for you. Oh, when you come crash into me.
So, starting off with a little Dave Matthews tonight, huh?
Yeah, very funny.
What?
Look at me, I'm laughing. Ha! Ha!
Don't, that'll hurt your face.
It does hurt my face.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 157. Is it?
I had to look it up to make sure, but yes, it's 157.
And yes, we realize it's been a while, but surely you can conclude from the title, San Diego Comic-Con, like running into the back of a truck.
Right.
That there have been some issues.
Right.
Issue number one was San Diego Comic-Con.
Right, which is a challenge in and of itself.
It certainly is, and we were there for 3 whole days.
Which is amazing because, not the full run, but still somehow it felt like I was there too long.
And still, I felt like I wanted to kill myself at the end of every day.
Absolutely.
But I had fun. I mean, we had good times. You know, we did some stuff.
Yes, we did.
We saw some things.
We did.
And now we realize, of course, that, it's like half a month ago now.
Right.
But we still want to talk about a couple of things that happened in San Diego. But I think we'll hold off on that until segment 2.
Sure.
Where we'll discuss our San Diego adventures.
Right.
And then, of course, right the day before our scheduled show last week.
Right.
OG up and runs into the back of a stopped truck.
Right.
Damaging his face severely.
Yes.
So, and it took
and everything
many,
else.
It took many, many stitches to put Humpty OG back together again.
Oh, that's a bad image. Don't nobody draw that. I don't want to see that.
It's true. In fact, if you're listening to our show on your iPod or on QuickTime or using iTunes, you can see pictures of OG's messed up face.
Right.
Right now.
So.
Right now. Otherwise, you can go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and you can check out the photo gallery for this episode to see old Frankenface over there being put back together again.
Right.
So that was fun for
it
you.
It was a bad, bad accident.
It certainly was. I almost, in addition to probably having to find a new a new producer, I would have had to find a new co-host, too.
Yes, it was close. Inches, dare I say. You know, yeah. The pictures of that accident scare me still.
Yeah. Well, you're fine.
I am fine. Happy to be fine.
You're fine now.
I'm hurt, but I'm fine.
Yes. So that... So those are the two giant excuses we have for not doing shows in the last 2 weeks. We did only expect to be off 1 week. We were off 2 weeks. What are you going to do?
We don't take off often.
No, it's true.
So they have to deal with it.
That's true. And we have a mountain of stuff to get through today.
Well, we've had to kind of pick and choose. And so we've saved some of the San Diego news
stuff
for the San Diego stuff.
Right.
And then I've kind of tried to glean some stuff over the past week or two to talk about tonight.
Okay.
So this is kind of a mishmash of...
Let's fire through it.
Right.
So it's got to be... Basically, you might be hearing stuff that's been released or talked about or news or whatever in the last, say, let's call it 2.5 weeks.
Right. People like to listen to this show for our witty banter.
They do?
Yes. Not for necessarily the upcoming news.
Thank God it's for the windy banter.
Right. Yeah.
Because today it would have been, weird.
Would have been weird. Okay. So, Machete. You saw the Grindhouse films?
Yeah.
You saw the trailers?
We interviewed Danny Trejo last year at San Diego.
Right. Well, Machete is set to start shooting like 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Sweet.
And it has a full cast finally.
Who's directing?
Robert Rodriguez, I believe. I think it's his organization. I don't know if he's
maybe
the
he's
actual
producing
one directing.
It. Maybe he's producing it.
Yeah. I don't know who's directing.
Well, you should know, if you don't know, Machete is one of the fake little trailers.
Right.
That they showed during Grindhouse. Now, this would be Grindhouse, the theatrical version. I don't know if those... I'm guessing those trailers, maybe they ended up on those individual terrible discs that they put out. Is it true they did not put out a theatrical version of that on disc?
They did not put out... They did not put out some sort of double set.
Right.
No.
Not double set, but the actual theatrical version where it was the film and then the break and then the other film?
That is correct.
They did not do that.
That is correct.
That's dumb. I bought a boot of it. Because they released it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I just bought the two DVDs, and then I forget where, but if you bought it somewhere, they gave you the slipcase to make it into like a set.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so.
Weird.
I have them, but it is Robert Rodriguez, and Ethan Mankiewicz is also on there as the co-director. It's the two of them working together.
Oh, I see. That old co-director thing.
That old co-director thing. So
you repeat
he worked
me.
On Planet Terror.
Can,
he was the editor on Planet
Can we address
Terror.
This now? We're starting to hear some stuff that you repeat things that I say.
Yeah, no, I say it sometimes. Okay. I don't deny it.
I'm just saying.
So I'm People suffering have been from a head injury.
Oh, yeah? And what's the I other can't. 2 years worth of excuses?
Suffering from a head injury my entire life.
Okay.
I was dropped as a child.
Uh-huh.
So that cast of Machete is fleshed out. Michelle Rodriguez is going to star in it. Jonah Hill.
Whoa.
What?
Michelle Rodriguez.
Yes.
What happened to Danny Trejo?
He's in it too.
Well, wouldn't he be starring in it, sir? It being Machete?
Well, I think all of these people are going to be starring.
Okay.
I didn't mention Danny Trejo because we knew that already. That's the given.
I didn't want to assume anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's the given.
Okay. Now you have Michelle
also starring
Rodriguez.
In it. Michelle Rodriguez.
The drunk that got kicked off of Lost.
That's correct.
Okay.
Playing the character of Luz. I don't know what that character is, but that's who she's playing.
Uh-huh.
Jonah Hill has been cast playing the character of Julio.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I'm excited to see Jonah Hill in pretty much anything. So.
And Robert De Niro in the role of Senator McLaughlin.
What?
In the film.
That's got to be a bit part.
It's a weird cast.
Wow.
A weird, weird cast.
De Niro is just working, sir.
He is just working. So, you know, I don't know.
Huh.
I mean, I'm excited about Machete. I liked it, but.
Sure.
Peter Jackson, Kong. Liked it. Didn't like it.
Kong?
Didn't care about it. Yeah.
I liked it.
Apparently, there's a prequel in the works.
Yes, I heard this.
All CG.
But he has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Wait, all CG, even the people?
That's what I hear. It's all CG. That's what I've heard. I've read that two places now.
Huh.
It's going to be called Kong, King of Skull Island. And I don't know. It's going into pre-production, which means it'll likely never be made.
So somebody else found Kong before they found Kong?
Well, no, I who knows? Maybe there's no talking. Maybe it's just like... You know, what was a Disney movie, Dinosaur, where it was just took place on, like, you know.
God, I hope not.
I don't know.
No, or
someone else found Kong before they found Kong.
We talked a while back about J. Michael Straczynski, someone who I consider a bit overrated as a comic book writer, as a writer in general, really. But who am I to say? I know. Everyone's going to jump down my neck. How dare I have an opinion? But that said... his one shots called The Red Circle, where he is kind of updated, revamped, streamlined, whatever you like, a couple of characters from the distant past.
Right.
The Hangman, Inferno, The Shield, and The Web. These are characters from a long, long time ago, sir. They have been released by as one-shots, or they're being released as one-shots, and actually coming up in comics this week, we'll talk about The Hangman, which came out. Good news on that front is that DC has greenlit the ongoing titles involved with these characters, and there's going to be two titles. One's going to be The Web, and that will have... The Hangman as a backup story.
Okay.
In each issue. And the other one is The Shield, which will have Inferno as the backup story in each issue.
Okay.
So you're kind of getting two new ongoing series, but you're getting really four stories per month. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is kind of good. This is something DC has started to do a lot now. We'll also talk about their another one that they're doing that started this week also. With these backup stories. I like it. You're getting a lot more bang for your buck that way, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Straczynski, the good news, besides the fact that these books are going to move on, is the fact that Straczynski will not be writing them.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with Straczynski.
I know, but there will be all new writers, all new creative teams.
Well, that's good. It's always good to get some new blood in there.
Yeah, I think so. And so good. It's kind of like Straczynski kind of came in and cleaned it up, and now people are going to come in and clean up Straczynski.
Clean up Straczynski
in an ongoing thing. I'm going to actually read them because, again, a quartet, if you will, of classic characters. I like the one that came out this week was The Hangman, the one shot, and I liked it. So I'm looking forward to reading the other ones. And if I like the other ones, which I suspect I will, I'll probably dig the ongoing ones for a little while as well. I don't think they'll last very long, but I'll enjoy them while they're out.
Okay. Adwale Akinnuoduobe Abaje.
No, I will not marry you, you Swahili homo.
That's not what I said, though.
In Swahili, it is.
Well, apparently, this is the dude who is currently in the front run position to play Black Panther in a live screen adaptation by Marvel.
Ooh. What else is
he
in
was
the
on
news?
Lost.
Whoa, was he Mr. Echo?
He was Mr. Echo on Lost.
Why
he was
you
in
just
Oz.
Say Mr. Echo?
Well, I was trying to make it complicated and difficult.
Well, you succeeded. Had you said, you know that dude, Mr. Echo from
that played
Lost?
Mr. Echo, yeah. So Marvel is going to be working on a live action Black Panther. He's the one that is now in the running to do that.
He seems a bit big and brutish. Yeah, but I guess it'll work.
I think it could work. I think it could work.
I guess Wesley Snipes is out.
Yeah. I think he's still, you know, dealing with whatever, tax issues.
That he's an
life
asshole.
Life issues. Issues. Yeah. Also in Marvel-related news, we heard this week that Ed Norton would have a role in both Iron Man 2 and The Avengers.
Really?
Yes. But.
Oh, boy.
But we haven't heard if it's beyond Ed Norton, meaning we don't know if it's anything past Bruce Banner. So it may not be the Hulk. It may just be Bruce Banner, at least in Iron Man 2, maybe for the Hulk. Maybe for Avengers, we'll see the Hulk.
Oh, I think he's got to be in the Avengers movie.
Well, you would think that they're going to set him up to be the villain in the Avengers movie.
Not the villain.
But
the problem. And I don't think the whole problem. I think maybe problem... But, you know, first half of the movie.
He's problem one, and then he helps the Avengers solve...
Problem two.
Problem two, yeah.
Right. Better be fucking good, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I think that was pretty significant. I mean, that kind of came out of left field. I really like how they're tying all of this stuff together.
Yeah. I mean,
I approve of this.
No, I mean, this is what we've wanted to see Marvel do forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Make films, you know, that have continuity. You know, which
continuity,
of course,
it's crazy.
Which of course makes you stunned about the fact that they can't do that in their books, yet they're striving and successful at it in their films. I don't get it.
I mean, maybe Joe Q doesn't have anything to do with the films. It's the only thing.
Well,
that
clearly he does. It's Kevin Feige,
right?
Feige. I think it's Feige.
Feige.
Oh, it could be Feige.
I think it might be Feige.
Kevin Feige, I think, is the one in charge. And Avi Arad, the two blokes in charge of making sure the Marvel movies are cool.
Yes.
Most of them, anyway.
Ridley Scott.
I met him. Know him. Friend of the show.
Yeah? I didn't know he was a friend of the show.
He is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. I did know that.
He did a drop for the show, sir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, stay tuned to the first break and you'll hear that drop.
Well, it looks like Mr. Scott, along with Leonardo DiCaprio and Leonardo DiCaprio's film studio, which is not doing Akira anymore.
Yes, we know.
You remember. Is going to be tackling the dystopian novel Brave New World as a film.
That's good.
I think one quote I read was, "Thank God for Ridley Scott. He's saving the sci-fi blockbuster for Michael Bay."
Yes, that's true.
So I mean, we still like Ridley Scott. He hasn't fallen ill with us yet, so
that's true. Good. All good.
All good.
That Robin Hood movie still happening?
I haven't heard anything about the Robin Hood movie. I think we kind of talked early on that the Robin Hood movie was likely never to actually see the light of day.
Yeah, I said that.
So,
who knows?
An update on something? Oh, maybe this isn't an update on something we talked about. But did we talk about the Futurama cast not being cast on
no,
the show?
We did not talk about
so
that.
So, in the absence, in our absence, in the time we were off the air, Fox announced they were bringing back Futurama, but they were not going to be bringing back the original voice cast. And that has since changed again. The original voice cast has all been signed.
Oh, good.
Everybody kind of thought that it was Fox just posturing for negotiation and contract reasons.
Making news.
Right. And a little bit of, you know, trying to get the contract prices where they wanted them for the voice actors. But they have signed the original cast back on. So
wonderful.
that is good news, not bad news.
Wonderful.
Apparently, we may or may not see another Chronicles of Riddick movie.
Oh,
or
really?
Maybe I should say a Riddick movie. I shouldn't say Chronicles of Riddick movie, right?
We may or may not.
Well, I say we may or may not because they're talking about doing another Riddick movie. I say may not because, you know, it's in the vague realm of, hey, someone mentioned we should do another Riddick movie.
Oh.
So, I mean, nothing's inked, I don't believe. I know that Vin Diesel has expressed his interest in returning.
Sure, why not?
As the character. So, you know, his second best role in a film is that of Riddick.
Second?
Yeah, well, Iron Giant is his best role in a
film. Hogarth does not make a great role in a movie.
I'm being an ass.
You're succeeding.
Well, I aim to succeed.
Can we chop it up a bit and I'll talk about this?
Yeah, go for it.
The week we left, DC Direct issued its History of the DC Universe Series 1 action figures. Now, why are we talking about this? There are four figures in the pack. You
That's
got
the most
one.
Important one you're holding right there,
right?
Well, for you.
For me. There are four figures in the line. Let's talk about them.
Sure.
Batman.
Right.
Now, the Batman is it's a blue and gray Batman. He's fairly Batman-like. I don't understand why they keep doing this. You know what I mean? I don't understand why they keep making just regular, plain, generic Batman. This one's really good, though. He's got nice articulation. He's got that new articulation. I think they're a bit more articulated than they have been in the past. He's got that rib articulation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
that rib cage.
That where he's kind of got. Yeah, he got that pointy thing.
Yeah, but
down
you can't. It's
gut.
Really nicely. It's tight. Though.
It's tight though. It's not like it hangs off.
No.
Awkward.
It's really good. Really, really good. So they've done Batman.
Right.
They did Manhunter. Now, this is the Paul Kirk Manhunter in the original weirdo red and white outfit with the white kind of pointy shoulders and the star, the kind of Japanese stars or ninja stars on his chest. That weirdo costume, which I don't understand because the second Manhunter outfit was infinitely better than this one. Had that metal mask face thing.
Well, isn't this supposed to be...
it's a history
line. It's history, so maybe they're going with first. So
maybe they'll eventually get to that point in history. Why don't you talk about the third one since you got them?
It was a lovely Green Arrow piece.
Yes.
Lovely Green Arrow
piece. It's another early Green Arrow interpretation.
Yes.
Very early on. So that's what you like, Green Arrow, because you got a whole crap load of Green Arrow.
I do.
Don't you?
My Green Arrow collection suddenly exploded. I kind of like that this one, I think in the prior incarnations of this early Green Arrow figure, they kind of give him that like featureless face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of detail or or anything. It's just kind of like it's a plastic face with some eyes and a nose. Like
right.
This one... The sculpt on it is very nice. I think they did a good job. It's probably the best version of that Green Arrow that I've seen.
Right. And let's talk about the last one who really, I thought, made the line.
A lot of people would agree that he made the line.
And let's say this also. When we interviewed one George Brewer.
Right.
Head of DC Direct.
Right.
Maybe 2 years ago.
Right.
George Brewer said what? This figure would never see the light of day.
Never see the light of day.
And I'm holding in my hand a classic Blue Devil action figure.
Look, George Brewer can say whatever he wants, but he damn well knows that if the demand for the figure exists, then they'll do the figure. And there's clearly a demand for that figure.
Yep.
We are not the only people that have asked for that figure.
That's
that
true.
Have said, how come it hasn't been done yet? And it was just a matter of time.
He's awesome. He's got the big metal earring.
Best figure in the line, absolutely.
I'd say. And I do have a problem with it.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh, what's the problem?
Intrigue.
His spear, his weapon.
His trident thing.
Wrong color.
What color should it be?
Yellow. It's like
it's
a
gold.
Bronzy color.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it should be kind of like almost canary yellow, right?
It should match his costume.
Trunks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost that. It should almost be that color. In any case, not going to complain about it because very happy to have a Blue Devil figure. So that was very exciting. History of the DC Universe Series 1. Series 2 coming soon featuring Creeper, Aquaman, Flash, and Black Lightning. Series 3 will feature Superman, Brainiac, Plastic Man, and Ocean Master, which is an odd choice.
That's a bit
Ocean
weird.
Master? Really? You just made Aquaman. What'd you make? Whatever. But
whatever.
Blue Devil. It's all about Blue Devil.
Right. Superman.
Do-do-do.
Remember we heard it was, well, Brandon Routh's contract expired, and
yes.
Then we heard that they weren't going to reboot it, and now they're going to reboot it again.
Yeah.
They're saying that...
Going to make it darker?
No. Well, they're saying that Superman Returns was the end of the Richard Donner legacy of Superman.
Oh, that was the end, not Quest for Peace.
No. And that now they can do it again.
How could it be the end when they clearly left it open for a sequel? They have a child who is apparently a super kid. How is that the end of anything?
I'm not disagreeing with you.
How is it the end of anything?
It's not the end. It's just they needed a way to say, we want to do more Superman movies because we realize that the character still has viability in Hollywood, and we have to figure out a way to do it. And that's what it is.
Boo.
You're booing it? We should also mention, in breaking news, moments before tonight's episode,
Yes. We
found out that one John Hughes died today.
Kicked the bucket.
Of a heart attack while jogging in Manhattan.
Wow. That's crazy.
He was on a morning walk. He was visiting Manhattan, and he died of a heart attack. John Hughes from Chicago. You know him as the director of, well, a billion things.
Home Alone, Candles, 16 Candles,
Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller.
A whole bunch of stuff.
So, yeah,
all set in Shermer, Illinois.
John Holmes, no longer with us.
John Holmes, sir, has been dead for many years.
Yes.
I know why you liked him, though. Because he had the big cock.
Is that why? I didn't know. Ooh.
John Holmes, the porn star?
Yeah, I know. What else do you have?
A couple of DVDs. Quick, defer.
I have a head injury. A
couple of DVDs that came out. I'd like to announce I have purchased my first Blu-ray.
Nice. Which one?
Coraline.
Awesome Blu-ray set.
Yes.
I've watched it.
Have you?
It's beautiful in the 3D.
Well, the reason I bought it is because, according to my criteria, this qualifies, A. B, it does come with a regular DVD.
Right.
In the pack. So you get Blu-ray and the regular DVD and the digital copy.
Right.
And four pairs of 3D glasses.
That is correct.
So you get it all at a nice price, like $30.
Actually, I even got it cheaper than that, I'd like to say.
Wow.
I got it when it was on sale.
Yeah.
It was like $2 more than the standard DVD release. It was fantastic.
Ah, nice.
So,
well,
you can still scoop that.
You made out, sir. But that's my first Blu-ray.
I paid for it.
So
by kissing a truck.
Yeah. Bang. also came out right as we, I think either as we left or as we were coming back, it's Green Lantern First Flight.
I hear this is really good.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I want to see it.
I bought the exclusive Green Lantern First Flight figurine version.
Ooh.
Comes with a little Green Lantern action figure. First ever Green Lantern animated movie rated PG-13.
Well, doody doo.
You know what that means?
Violence.
That bitch gets shot.
That's right. Someone gonna get something in the face.
The figurine it comes with is part of that the new we're doing everything smaller line from DC,
right.
Which is working out really well. Features Christopher Maloney, Victor Garber, Tricia Helfer, Michael Madsen, John Larroquette. Really? Who's John Larroquette in this movie?
I don't know. Who's Kirkwood John Larroquette?
Kurtwood Smith, you know who that is? The dad from That 70s Show.
Right.
And others. And you get a whole group of characters in here. Two discs. Lots of other material. 2.5 hours worth of extras. So that's a quality release, I have to say.
Yeah, man.
From DC, a little bit Mattel, a little bit DC, a little bit Warner Brothers. Nice release. Can't wait to check that out. Mm-hmm. I haven't yet, though.
Larroquette?
Yeah.
Tomar Ray.
Really?
Yep.
Tomar Ray? Isn't that the big weirdo dude?
He was the bird beak fish guy.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
He had the fin on his head.
Right.
But the beak.
Also coming out this week was The Mutant Chronicles, starring Thomas Jane, Ron Perlman, and John Malkovich.
Nice.
Did this make movie theaters?
I don't think so.
I don't remember this flick being a movie.
I didn't see it. I know that much, so. I don't know.
Well, anyway, it's the science fiction epic saga, little gray matter. In the year 2707, war rages between Earth's four giant corporations as they battle over the planet's dwindling resources. Amid heavy combat, an ancient burial seal shatters, releasing a horrific mutant army from its eternal prison deep within the Earth. As a mutant plague threatens a human extinction, a single squad of soldiers descends into Earth to save mankind. Do they? So there it is. Check out The Mutant Chronicles. That had better be a good flick. Thomas Jane, though. Sheesh.
Saw him at San Diego this year.
Yeah. No
walking
San Diego
around.
Would be complete without Thomas Jane walking around like he didn't know where he was.
Word.
Couple of comics to talk about really quick. We're going to rifle through these because there is literally like 160 of them. Stuff to come that has come out that you should check out. Star Wars Legacy 38. This is continuing the Tatooine storyline. It's part 2 of 4. The Warriors Jailbreak number 1. Now, this is from the Dabble Brothers.
Yeah. How is it?
It's good.
Yeah? Yeah.
I think it's okay.
All right.
I mean, it ain't the greatest thing in the world.
Not the cat's meow.
Me. Yeah, it's good. It wasn't so bad. Flash Gordon number 6. This is the one from Cracker Comics. Wait, it's not Cracker Comics.
Graham Cracker.
Is that what it is? Did we decide it was Graham Cracker?
I believe it's Graham Cracker.
Okay, well, that's who it is. It's a really good book. Not getting nearly enough credit as it needs to get. Guardians of the Galaxy number 16, War of Kings, featuring the original Guardians of the Galaxy on the cover, which is very cool. The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, number 8. This will be the last issue in this story.
Yes!
Which means OG gets a trade some point.
Soon.
And then their next Oz series, I believe, is being worked on. So there's that as well. All Winners, number 1. This is the Timely Comics. This is part of Marvel's 70th anniversary, Blahooey.
Right.
And so it's a one-shot, and it's very nice. Features Cap, Bucky, Namor, and all the All Winners squads. You can check that out. As we mentioned earlier, The Red Circle from J. Michael Straczynski. The first one is The Hangman.
Nice.
And yes, it is. And it's a one-shot from DC. We talked about that a little earlier. The Inheritors. This is Project Superpowers Chapter 2.
Okay.
So if you're following that from Dynamite, as retarded difficult as it is to follow this series, if you're following it, this is Chapter 2, Issue 1, The Inheritors. It's a little difficult to keep up with, but if you like it, you'll try.
Okay.
And not finally, well, No, I'm not going to say finally. I'm going to go to this. Wednesday Comics 3, 4, and 5. All released over the last couple of weeks, featuring all your favorite characters. Batman, Superman, Deadman, Hawkman, Green Lantern, Metamorpho, Commandy, Metal Men, The Flash, and on, Demon, and on and on and on. In the broad, in the newspaper, what do you call it? Newsprint. Broadsheet format. So check those out. Those have been really excellent. And finally, I'm very excited. It's yet another Doom Patrol series.
You and your Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol issue 1. God knows what volume this is. I'm actually looking to see if
80
it, if
billion.
It says. I don't think it says what volume it is, but anyway, this is the latest Doom Patrol story by Keith Giffen, I think is the writer on this one, if I am not mistaken. Yes, with Matthew Clark providing the pencils and all sorts of people involved. Now, what's great about the Doom Patrol series, you may ask? Well, first I'm off, asking. It's Doom Patrol, and that makes it cool right off the bat.
Okay.
What makes it even better is the second feature in the book is
something good.
The Metal Men.
Oh, all right. Well, now it all makes sense to me.
Well, it's a beautiful twofer, sir, if you don't mind me saying. You get a bunch of great pages of Doom Patrol and a bunch of great pages of Metal Men. What more could you ask for? This may be the best comic, I think, that's coming out this for the rest of this year.
Nice.
I mean, it was really good. I read it already. Cool. Both stories were fantastic. I can't wait for the next issue.
Rock and roll.
So there it is. That's comics for the week. A couple of books we'd like you to check out.
We would.
These all have come out in the last couple of weeks, and we provide that you may have seen these already, and some of them, but we're pointing them out for the people who may not have seen them.
Right.
There it is. The Complete Peanuts, 1973 to 1974, continues the definitive collection of Charles Schulz's comic book masterpiece. Can you even believe it that they're up to 1974?
No, but that's awesome.
Dailies and Sundays features the Woodstock cover.
Yes.
Nice. It's a bluish purplish Woodstock cover.
Yippee.
They're beautiful on the shelf. They are amazing.
They do look nice, all lined up pretty like.
Yeah, and the reprints are perfect. It's just a perfect thing. Who's doing this? Who can we say who's doing this? Fantagraphic Books should get all
kudos to Fantagraphic
For doing that. From Archaea Studio Press.
I need to go get this.
It is Mouse Guard Winter 1152, the hardcover. So this collects the second volume of Mouse Guard from friend of the show David Peterson.
Right.
And Archaea Studio Press.
I really need to go get that. I gotta go get that this week.
I believe it is the first Lobster Johnson novel.
Whoopee. Now it's called to let people know who Lobster Johnson is for not in the know.
It's called The Satan Factory.
Right.
He is one of the characters from Hellboy.
Right.
And now he's getting his own
Now, is this an animated novel? This is just like graphic
novel,
okay.
Sir.
Novel. Okay.
Yes, a novel. Well put. There ain't a single illustration except the cover.
All right.
It's like a real book.
I don't do those.
Well,
only pictures for me.
You might consider doing that one, sir.
Really, my ideal comic was gone. No words at all.
Oh, that's a great book.
I know. Little I need dinosaur. To get those.
Richard Stark's Parker, the Hunter, adapted and illustrated by yet another friend of the show, Darwin Cook.
I have a San Diego Comic-Con Darwin Cook story. I'll save it for segment 2.
Oh, good. The Hunter is the story of a man who hits New York head-on like a shotgun blast to the chest. Betrayed by the woman he loved and double-crossed by his partner in crime, Parker makes his way cross-country with only one thought in mind, to coldly exact revenge and reclaim what was taken from him.
Sounds epic.
Yes. So this is a complete illustrated adaptation of this story by our pal Darwin Cook. Everyone should check it out. It's beautiful.
Darwin, I'm just going to say as a teaser, He was in my bed for like a week.
Oh, yeah?
He was on the bad list.
Oh, boy. We mentioned the backup feature in Doom Patrol, Metal Men. Now you can get the trade, the Metal Men trade paperback that collects the Duncan Ryu Metal Men series from the past year.
Nice.
But there it is. So check that out. Collects the four-issue series that was out. Terrific series. Absolutely terrific.
Solid.
And finally in the books section, it's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Collected Book Volume 1.
Oh, I'm fucked.
Why?
Because I need that and Mouse Guard now.
Mirage Studios.
God damn it.
Collects. I'm trying to see what it collects.
Doesn't matter. I have to have it.
You just have to have everything.
Balls,
sir.
I say. Balls.
Okay, I'm going to read off what it collects here. Ready? TMNT, the originals from 19, started in May of 84, just for the record. You get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. You get Raphael number 1, the Fugitoid number 1, Michelangelo number 1, Donatello number 1, Leonardo number 1. Those are all one shots. And then you get bonus material on top of that in the back.
And what is this book called?
This is called TMNT Collected Book Volume 1 from Mirage Publishing.
God damn it.
So you're getting, yeah, you're getting the all the classic stories, sir, and then a whole bunch of material in the back. You get the covers are in here as well. It's some good stuff, and it's in chronological order, sir.
And that's new?
New. Brand new. Why?
Just curious.
When did you think it had come out earlier, sir?
No, there was one that came out in 2006 called The Collected Books Volume 1.
Okay.
But maybe
is that
it's
the
one
they colored?
One. I don't know.
See, this is all in the original glorious black and white, yeah. Sir. Which I'll be honest with you, I think is rocking.
It you should get it in the original black and white. So now I have to find
with the original violence, I might add. Just saying.
All right, I gotta go. I gotta go.
Well, why don't we both go and take a break?
Thank God.
And we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 157.
57. My wounds need tending to.
I don't think that's the title, sir. I think it's San Diego Comic-Con, like running into the back of a truck.
Right.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Paget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit ComboBreaker.com and enter coupon code GeekStuffXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's ComboBreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey, this is Ridley Scott. I'm director of The Blade Runner.
More human than human is our motto.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
Come crash into me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 157, San Diego Comic-Con, like running into the back of a truck.
Yep.
Which I did.
Yep.
It hurt.
And you lived to tell the
I
tale.
I lived to tell the tale. I was under the truck.
You personally.
Steering wheel.
You personally were not under the truck.
No, my car was under the truck.
Oh, okay.
All right, San Diego.
I got a different visual from it.
Where do we start? There's so many places to start.
Well, let's start at the beginning.
Okay.
The airport.
Let's start at the... That was an adventure, but it worked in our favor.
It's always an adventure. It's
always an adventure.
What do you mean it worked in our... Which part are you telling?
I'm just saying...
We're not discussing that part.
Oh, okay.
We're not discussing the scheme.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're saving that.
No.
Oh, what part are we discussing?
Let's talk about who was on our plane. We had two fairly significant people on our plane.
Oh, I thought we were going to die.
Three, really.
I thought we were going to crash.
Well, all right. First of all, we had Joe Kelly on the plane.
Not because of Joe Kelly.
We had a nice long conversation with Joe Kelly before we got
That's right.
the plane. We also had Marvel's talent scout. I don't know if it's for artists or writers or both, sitting right behind us.
Oh, is that the bloke that was sitting behind us?
Yeah, he was one of Marvel's talent scouts, I guess. I didn't catch his name, though.
Neither did I.
And then, of course, as we're getting comfy in our seats, on the plane walks
Joe
Quesada.
That's right.
Now, this would be the third year in a row, I think, that he's been on the plane with us to San Diego.
Well, yeah, with me too, because I wasn't on the
right,
plane
you weren't
with
on
you
the
last year.
But I think,
but
for
the year
me,
prior,
I think
yes.
it's three
and then the, yeah.
years.
Yeah.
3 years in a row that he's been on the same plane as
right.
as me for San Diego.
Right.
So yeah, it was a little scary.
It was a little shaky.
Not a bad flight though.
Not gonna lie, a little shaky.
We got there, we settled into our lovely hotel room.
We did. It was a lovely
and
room.
And then the bullshit began.
As soon as we got into the hotel room, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah. You mean because it had one bed?
Two men, one bed.
That wasn't working.
And actually, it was three.
It was
we
three.
We shared the room with a listener of the show.
Yes, we did.
You know, some people thought that we were joking.
No.
We were very serious.
Very serious.
We put out a call.
And a listener of the show was able to share our prime location.
You don't get better than where we were.
Nope, you don't
We
get
were
better.
Literally attached to the convention
Absolutely.
Center.
Beautiful.
Literally.
It's even better than the room we had last year.
Absolutely.
Well, than I had last year.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. So then we go over, try to get our passes. There is an immense line.
There is an immense
for
line.
For press. I think it was press and professionals
it was
or something.
There was some sort of press and professional debacle line, as
yeah.
I was calling it.
Yeah.
That stretched two blocks.
It was huge. And this is not regular badge holder. These are people who they are providing badges for. So... When that line, they say that line is going to open at, whatever, 2 o'clock
yeah,
or 3 o'clock.
Yeah, I think
o'clock.
They actually ended up opening it a little bit early,
and
but
we,
it didn't help.
When we rolled over there like noon 30 or 1 o'clock, whatever, let's call it 1 o'clock,
right.
and there's 500 people online in front of us already,
right
away you have to start...
Figuring out a plan of
yeah,
action.
Yeah, you gotta start your scam machine working.
Right.
So, without getting into much detail... We got our badges without having to wait on any line.
Like 15 minutes, maybe.
No.
Well, I waited 15
you waited.
Minutes just in case.
I didn't wait.
Well, you made things happen.
Yes. That was true. And then we were able to manage to scam our way onto the floor.
That's right.
A little early.
Right.
Not that it really helped us this year.
No, I'd actually like to say fuck Hasbro.
Yes. Yes. Once again, the Hasbro line at San Diego, especially on preview night, one to be reckoned with.
Actually, I'm taking that back. I'm not blaming Hasbro.
Who are you blaming?
That asshole in the blue shirt.
Security guy?
That guy.
Yeah. He
I'm
didn't
blaming
help.
Him.
He
blaming
didn't
him. I'd like to say maybe a little FU to Mattel. Just like a little one, though.
Because they had a. Oh, well.
Because
we should
there was
say.
A blackout. All right, let's get through Hasbro first.
Okay.
So we got through the Hasbro line. It
right.
was
now,
long and epic as
yeah,
always.
Not really a big deal. I thought the Hasbro exclusives, if you will, were kind of meh. There was two Star Wars pieces.
There were two Star
that
Wars
were noteworthy.
Pieces.
Smiling Luke Skywalker.
Smiling Luke.
In the X-Wing outfit as though he's just blown up the Battlestar, and the little ladder, which is an important accessory.
Right.
And the Stormtrooper Commander, which was originally released as a GameStop exclusive the night that Unleashed came out, Force Unleashed came out, has now been re-released as a con special on a different card. So actually, if you have one on that original card, it's probably going to be worth a small fortune now.
Right.
So those are the two Star Wars pieces. I thought they were fairly significant as far as Hasbro goes. There was a bunch of G.I. Joe stuff.
There were two G.I. Joe pieces, a Baroness and a Destro.
Right.
There was a Transformers piece, a Soundwave, which was awesome.
Which
and
was
I'm
really cool.
Really happy that I bought that.
I'm really glad.
There was My Little Pony.
My Little Pony, the Littlest Pet Store or whatever it is.
There was a black and white
Captain America, which was cool.
It was cool, except that it's 3 3/4.
And there was a 4-pack celebrating Marvel's 70th anniversary, and it was essentially the Human Torch, the original one, Namor, Cap, and Red Skull.
Right.
In a 4-pack, 3 3/4.
Right.
Which I was like, who gives a crap?
Because
why?
It's 3 3/4.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, I think that was everything at Hasbro, more or less.
I think so.
So there was that. Mattel had a bunch of exclusives that I thought were really cool. The Wonder Twins.
Right.
With a polybagged, separately packaged Gleek. Only available at San Diego.
Did you hear about the problems with Gleek?
No.
There were epic problems with Gleek.
What?
Some people didn't know that they were supposed to get a Gleek, and the Mattel people didn't give some people their Gleek, and then there was no way to prove that they hadn't gotten the Gleek prior. And,
right.
Oh, there were problems with Gleek.
I didn't know.
I don't know why they made him separate.
I think that was a poor choice. I agree with you. While I agree with you, the easier way would have been to insert, even if he's separately packaged, he was only polybagged.
Just insert him in the box.
You could have easily inserted him in the box.
Absolutely.
Okay, but that said, clearly the Wonder Twins were packaged for Maddie Collector.
Yes.
And they decided to add Gleek, which is a bad choice because Gleek is an integral part of that duo, if you will, or that trio, that character line, if you will, the Wonder Twins. He's really rather an integral part. I mean, it's kind of, I'm trying to think of a good example. It's like you wouldn't do Wendy Marvin and not Wonder Dog.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like it's like that kind of you just don't do that. So to make him an extra in a San Diego exclusive, on the one hand, makes sense because everyone's going to want it. On the other hand, doesn't make any sense because Maddie Collector's not offering Gleek.
Right.
You can get the Wonder Twins, but not Gleek. So it's kind of meh. So that was one. They had
Egon.
They had Egon from Ghostbusters, who was kind of meh.
Egon fell a little short in the sculpting department. I don't know what
I thought
happened.
The glasses were humongous. I don't know what happened there.
Something happened in the face too. I don't know if there were problems at production, but
I don't know. There was
a little less than satisfied.
Yeah, it was a little iffy. Then they had a bunch of stuff that was Maddie Collector stuff on sale there, but that wasn't San Diego exclusives.
Right.
Like whatever their He-Man figures were.
Right.
They did have Hero, who was a San Diego exclusive.
And that Art of the He-Man Universe was San Diego exclusive.
That's a book.
Right?
That was a book. Right. That's exclusive. There were a couple other Mattel things. I'm trying to think. Oh, there was the Anti-Monitor 3 3/4.
Right.
And then there was some sort of contest where you could win a 2.5-foot Anti-Monitor.
Right.
Which I don't know who won those or what happened to those. So there was that. And then there was something else that was Mattel. I can't remember what it is now.
Green Lantern? Was there a Green Lantern?
No, there was Green Lantern, but not Mattel. There was...
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yes. No, you're right. The animated 3-pack.
Yeah, the 3-pack that looked in, like, it almost looked like a little lantern.
It came in a little lantern.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was Hal Jordan pre-ring. The guy who gives him the ring, whose name I forget, and Sinestro, but still has a Green Lantern in the animated JLU style.
Right.
Good one. They also had a Cars exclusive.
Yes, it was a Cars exclusive.
They also had a Batman kind of Matchbox car box thing exclusive. They also had an Enterprise exclusive ship in the hangar, which was really cool. Couple things like that. So those, I mean, I think that's really the big two isn't it?
Yeah, there were. I mean, look, everybody had exclusives that always. I mean,
yeah, a little bit.
You know,
Gentle Giant had a bunch of exclusives.
NECA.
Yeah, NECA. Oh, yeah, NECA had
April O'Neil.
Had April O'Neil.
Coraline.
Coraline in the star sweater. They had three from video games. They had Guile.
Right.
Who they've just gotten, I guess, the Street Fighter license.
Right.
From Soda,
I mean,
I guess.
I mean, there are two Gears of War.
There was one Gears of War.
Okay.
Grenader, Guy. There was one. What's that other one? He's like in the full metal suit. I can't remember the name of that.
BioShock? No, not
BioShock.
I know what you're talking about, too, and I'm just drawing a blank on it right now.
Yeah, I am, too. I don't remember what it is. But there was that. If we think of it, we'll mention it later. But they had a bunch also. But really, the story about the exclusives, really, is two exclusives. One, it was any of the Green Lanterns from DC Direct as distributed by
Graffiti. Right.
So the deal was they're going through this whole Blackest Night thing with Hal Jordan. I don't know if the story is that Hal Jordan is going through the different lantern colors, but there are a bunch. There's green, blue,
orange,
yellow, orange, and red.
Right.
Right. And every day of the con, you could get one of those colors. Like preview night was green.
Right.
Right. Now, what happened was the moment preview night opened, half of the people going to preview night went to the graffiti booth. It was a zoo.
Right.
It was literally 20 people deep in every direction around that booth.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And eventually when they got it correct, you had to get in line to get a ticket to get in line to get the figure.
Right.
And when you got up there, you could buy two.
Right.
Right? So I managed to get, rather by accident, as I found a blue ticket on the floor.
I don't know how you did it. You're a lucky man.
Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday.
It was Friday.
I found a blue ticket on the floor. I was able to get up there with no line because I went towards the end of the day, and I was able to buy two blue, and that's the only ones that I saw. My understanding is that it was a zoo every day there for every color.
Yep.
It's a great figure, we should say. It's a really awesome Green Lantern action figure from DC Direct, or Blue Lantern or whatever Lantern, Hal Jordan. It's a great figure. They did two different heads. Green and blue have the same kind of I'm calm and confident, and the other ones are kind of I'm angry and pissed off head. Really great, but man, I had no idea the Green Lantern thing had become this popular.
You know, it's because of Blackest Night.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's because of Blackest Night, man. It's just, it's
huge. The Blackest Night thing is huge. And they were selling all the T-shirts from all the different colors as well. It was I even bought a blue one just because I felt like everyone's buying it and I'm not. I should buy one of these shirts. It was a total impulse buy.
Absolutely.
So there was that. And that's I think that was a big story this year. I mean, considering there's a G.I. Joe movie, yet people weren't killing themselves to get those G.I. Joe exclusives. You know what I mean?
The G.I. Joe Foot Locker at Shout Factory sold better probably than the Hasbro.
I don't know. I don't know about that either, but you ended up getting those, right? Those are two con exclusives we should mention.
Right.
The complete G.I. Joe.
Which I did not pick up.
DVD, which you did not get, and the complete Transformers,
which I did pick up.
Which we were the first people to buy those.
Yes, we got the first one sold at the con.
Yes, you did.
To say.
And they were awesome, and they are never going to be released as complete sets ever again.
Nope.
I don't know if they sold out or not.
I don't know either. I remember the original deal was if they didn't sell out, they were going to make them available on the website for like a week or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's 16 discs. Comes in the Matrix of Leadership, like, breakaway box.
It was badass. Nice.
And it came with a really nice poster.
Right.
Like a nice quality stock paper, Megatron poster, signed by Frank Welker.
Is our posters okay?
They saved. They were okay.
Oh, good.
They are okay.
Good. They were in the car.
They were in the car.
So those two were great also. But that's not really the big story. I mean, you think it would be, considering, but I don't know if everyone knew about it or whatever. I wonder if they sold out. I'm really curious to know.
I don't know, maybe.
The other big story, as far as exclusives go, is Hallmark.
That that was the most ridiculous line I've ever seen. And the more we researched it, we found out why. It was the first ever San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Hallmark piece.
But is that true?
At least for Star Wars, I don't know about Trek.
Okay. Because the deal was they did an exclusive ornament for Star Wars. It was actually two ornaments.
Right. It came in a single box.
Right. It was a Shadow Trooper and a Red and White Trooper, who I forget at the moment. And I know I'll take flack for not knowing what the Red and White Trooper's called. Give me a fucking break.
You are an army builder.
Thank you. That was one. And then the second, which they had never done before. And the second one, of course, was Uhura from Star Trek, which they released like 5 years ago in red. But this one, she was in the gold uniform.
Right.
The line was insane.
Now, I can't remember this gentleman's name, and I feel bad, but we stood online at the Hallmark booth,
right,
and there was a gentleman behind us who collects exclusively Hallmark Star Wars ornaments.
Correct.
And in my conversation with him, he said that there have been many exclusives to retailers and even a couple online.
Right.
But this is the first ever San Diego Comic-Con Star Wars exclusive.
Right.
So that could have driven it.
I mean, it could have.
It was a nice ornament. I mean, if you're a trooper.
These
collector.
Hallmark collectors were mad pissed because they only made X amount of these.
Well,
I mean, I'm gonna say let's call it 500.
Okay.
Even though I don't know if that's exactly the number or not, let's call it 500.
Okay.
And they doled them out so many per day.
Good. That's how it should be.
You know, so people are killing themselves to get over and get in that line, sir.
I know, but I honestly, my honest opinion is that that's how exclusives at San Diego should be handled. Because you do have people that don't come every day. So if you have 2,500 pieces, you should dole it out over 5 days or however you want to do it.
It's just a nightmare.
I only think that it's only fair that people who come only on Sunday, for example, I don't know anybody that only goes on Sunday, but for example, someone that may only go only on Sunday has the same opportunity to try to get it as someone who only goes on Wednesday.
I understand that aspect.
I'm just saying.
I understand that aspect, but man,
it was a nutty line.
And it was fucking Hallmark.
It was Hallmark.
It was crazy, but yes. Good for them. I mean, they were great pieces. It certainly gave them a hell of a lot of exposure.
Right.
Everybody was talking about Hallmark. I mean, it was like, did you get your Hallmark? And I'm like, my what? Hallmark? Are they even here? Like, I remember them being in the Star Wars Pavilion last year or adjacent to it or something. And I was like, why? But then, of course, they do a ton of genre
ornaments.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense.
A bunch of movie-related stuff.
Yeah.
Bunch of
comic-related stuff.
Yeah,
totally. So good for Hallmark. We hope to... We hope to be talking more about some Hallmark stuff as we go on here.
That's going
to
happen.
We're going to reach into this Hallmark thing and find out what's what.
Also, while we were out there, we had the opportunity to meet up with and hang out with some great people and friends of the show.
This is where you kiss people's ass.
No, it's where I mentioned that I had dinner with the brothers Timoney.
Uh-huh.
It was very enjoyable. We both had dinner with George and Eileen from October Toys along
yes.
with all of the horsemen.
Yes, that was a great dinner.
That was actually the food at that place. I had never been there before. Food was very good there, and it was good company. We had a very good night that night. So
my hands were freaking out.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know, man. I was like a
food and
vitamin deficiency,
fork.
And I couldn't hold the fork.
I don't know, but the meal was good. The company was good.
I was.
And
love the horseman. Love Corn Boy.
Yeah, man. Love October Toys. Good people.
Yeah,
friends of. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah,
I
like
you.
October Toys.
I love you.
Yeah. I love one of them.
That's terrible. Just, you know, Eileen's very nice, and you really shouldn't be mean to her. That's not right.
Who said it was George that I liked and not Eileen?
I just assumed it was the beard.
What?
I thought you were attracted
really?
To the beard.
Is that it?
That's what I thought.
Silly man.
Just putting it out there.
Silly man.
We also had the chance to meet Kenny from Knights of the Guild, the Knights
yes.
of the Guild podcast. Kenny's a good guy, a friend of the show now.
Kenny was hooking us up.
He was, and hopefully I'm going to take advantage of that in the future and get something signed. I wasn't able to get signed while I was in San Diego.
Ah, yes.
So that'll be.
Let's talk about things you were able to get signed. So I'm walking the floor.
Right. This is the same story every year. It's just insert cast member here.
I'm walking the floor. I'm by myself because OG's off at the psych panel.
Right. I went to the psych panel.
I'm off, walking the floor, and I'm heading towards DK Publishing, friends of the show, people that we love over there. And I'm heading towards that booth, and at the back of the Star Wars Pavilion is the official Star Wars signing thing area where they have Star Wars people where you can buy autographs from them.
Right, but they also had other people.
Yes, which was awkward.
Weird.
Because standing alone at that table, and literally alone with nobody talking to him, just hanging out, he had like a little podium, and he was just leaning on it. I looked over, and it's Adam Baldwin.
Right.
I was stunned.
I looked through that entire, look, we all know, I'm obsessed.
People just show up.
It's a disease. I travel around with these books that I get signed by the cast members.
What books?
The visual books.
From what?
To that TV show.
What TV show?
The one that Serenity was based on. All right, it's been 2.5 weeks. Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
Oh, that show.
Right. So I carry around my visual guides because I get them signed and I've got a nice little collection of autographs going. So, you know, I scour these program guides to make sure who's going to be there and I don't want to miss anything, yada, yada. I don't remember seeing his name anywhere in there.
Well, when I saw him, I could not call and text OG fast enough. And literally after like 7 minutes of texting, not getting through and not being able to reach him by phone, I was about to give up. I went over to Adam Baldwin. I introduced myself, shook his hand, took a picture. Can't find my camera, but took a picture. You know, had a nice conversation with him and so on and so forth. And then I'm walking away alone. No line. He was alone.
Can't believe it.
And I'm like, let me give it one more shot. And I got OG on the phone and I said, you got to get down here because Adam Baldwin is alone.
Now, I am on the third floor. In ballroom 20.
Right.
Which is a dead zone.
Right.
You don't get service in there.
I'm on the first floor, which is literally the other side of the planet from where OG is.
So now I am running through crowds, lines, trying to get down there. And Kevin is calling me every couple of minutes just to check on my progress. And he goes, at one point he says to me, don't worry, I said you fell. I bought you a couple of
minutes. Told Adam Baldwin that that OG had fallen down on the escalator in his attempt to get down here. And if you know, and if he was planning on leaving, if he could just hang out. And Adam Baldwin said that he, you know, that he wasn't going anywhere. And you know, to tell my friend not to hurt himself getting down there.
So I hang up with Kevin and I get to the escalators. And there's a packet of ketchup that someone had wedged under the top stair. You know, to break and ha-ha, ketchup goes all over the place.
Yeah, get it.
And I slipped on the ketchup, and I fell on the escalator. You got the eye.
I predicted that.
You got the eye. You could see into the future.
So
I get down there,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing Adam Baldwin says to me, did you fall down and get a boo-boo?
Yes.
That was my introduction to Adam Baldwin.
And right, so OG was able to get his picture, get his stuff signed.
I was, and it was fantastic.
And actually, the next day,
right,
when we found him alone there again, we were able to get OG's little maquette signed as well.
My Jane maquette from QMX. Yes. QMX had 100 that they released at the con, and I was able to get one of those.
They also showed us the Firefly ship.
Oh, my God, I'm in trouble.
It was...
I'm in trouble.
The scale model of the ship that they've been working on for a long time, with all its light-up features and so on. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to have a hefty price tag.
Yes, sir. Feel
we
it.
Don't
I
know
feel it will.
The official price yet, but we're hearing in the ballpark of $1,500 to $2,000.
Yeah.
That's the ballpark.
It's a lot of fucking
balls.
A lot
of clams.
Yeah.
A lot of lion's currency.
That's a lot of BJs for OG to give.
I don't know how the fuck we're going to pull that off. But anyway.
Anyway.
What else? Oh, I can tell my Darwin Cook story.
Okay.
So I've met Darwin Cook. on several occasions. I've talked to him. I've had conversations with him. He was on our show.
Yeah.
A very nice guy. I'm walking outside of the convention center with Peter Timoney. We're having a nice conversation, and Darwin Cook is standing outside. Peter goes up to Darwin Cook and goes, "Hey, Darwin, how's it going?" and shakes his hand. And da, da, da. I said, "Hey, Darwin, how's it going?" And I put my hand out to shake my hand, and he looks at me. He puts his hands in his pocket and completely ignores me.
Wow.
And I didn't say anything. I was like, you know what? He's an asshole. I walked away.
I don't think he was an asshole. I Maybe he didn't hear you, or he was in another conversation that you were unaware of.
So he was on my shit list for like half a week.
Okay.
So then I get back from the con before kissing the truck.
Uh-huh.
And I have a conversation with Peter Tim, and he goes, "Yo, I spoke to Darwin Cook that night," because it was the night we were leaving. And
right.
I'm like, "Oh, yeah?" And he goes, "Yo, we were drinking at the bar." And I was like, "How come you snubbed Matt?" And Darwin felt really bad. He got sidetracked and he zoned for a second.
I said,
totally missed it. So I no longer hate. I hated him, but no longer. He's okay. He's back
Timoney,
in the good.
Did Timoney tell him that you were on this program?
He had the whole conversation with him, and he knew who I was, and he had remembered meeting me in the past.
Right.
He felt really, really bad. And he told Peter that he had to make it a goal to tell me that he felt really bad.
Nice.
So we're okay. Good.
You made Darwin Cook feel bad.
Good.
And what San Diego coverage would be complete without the awkward Felicia Day story?
The awkward Felicia Day story. And then we have a little bit of guild stuff we could talk about too. So.
Well, why don't you say that first so then we can close out with the awkward Felicia Day story.
So while I was unable to make it to the guild panel due to
volume,
having to go to the UPS store to ship home crates of stuff.
Yes.
We heard about the guild panel, and they teased season 3 of the guild, which is going to feature a rival guild, which is going to be led by Will Wheaton. And there was a music video that was shown at the guild, too.
Yes.
Felicia Day had written a song, and I believe it's "Will You Date My Avatar."
It is.
The name of the song.
Or don't You Want to Date My Avatar, something like that.
And the video features all of them in their Avatar costumes.
Right.
And they showed this video.
Uh-huh.
Now, we were able to see the video
right.
later, but not hear the video.
Right.
We won't reveal our sources because I don't know if they'll get in trouble for that, but we were able to see it.
Somebody taped it.
Right.
Somebody at the panel taped it and showed it to us.
And showed it to us. So, and might I say, they look awesome in those costumes, and Felicia looks outstandingly hot. It's kind of bad, but good in the right way. And we should also say that video is going to be released.
Yeah.
Online.
Right.
I believe later soon. This week or next week, if you have Xbox Live, but there's a code that you need. And right now the Guild is running a contest. So if you go to their website, you can get information on how to get that code.
Uh-huh.
And I believe Knights of the Guild podcast is also running a contest to get that code.
Okay.
And then August 17th, it's being released on MSN.
Right.
So we'll be able to see it within a couple weeks. And then August 25th is, I believe, the launch of season 3.
Right.
Okay. They also announced a comic book that's going to be published by Dark Horse, written by Felicia Day, based on the Guild.
Nice.
So we have that to look forward to, and that's coming out later this year. First issue is coming out later this year.
Now, is that going to be based on, like, their human, you know, like, their characters, or is it going to be based on their characters' characters? Because that's kind of like a Knights of the Dinner Table thing. Didn't they do like a Knights of the Dinner Table thing? And
they
then
did.
They did, what was the book called that was called, their characters? I can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember either.
But they actually, Knights of the Dinner Table is a comic about a bunch of role players, you know, who have certain characters that they play in the role playing game. Then they did a comic about the characters in the role playing game, which I can't remember the name of, but it's very, very funny concept.
I believe that the book is going to be a mix.
Oh, yeah?
Of both, like, in character and out of character.
Gotcha.
In the world of the guild kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
It's initially slated to be a 3-issue miniseries, and then hopefully it gets picked up from there if it does well. All right. Awkward Felicia Day moment.
So, we go over to the guild signing, the first one on preview night. And OG is getting his season 2 DVD signed, which I still don't have.
I got mine.
And they're all there, and OG's waiting in line, but I'm not waiting in line because I have nothing to get signed, so I'm just standing by the table. And OG is off somewhere because they moved the lines all over different places.
The line was like broken into four segments. It was weird.
But I was standing by the table just waiting. I was actually talking to the fella who puts out the role-playing books.
Right.
Whose name I don't remember at the moment. But I was talking to him. And as OG came up and get his stuff signed, that's when Felicia Day and I locked eyes.
Right.
And immediately turned in two different directions, both of us.
Right.
And then as we slowly looked back, she waved to me and mouthed, "Hi, Big Kev," which meant that she remembered me, which was special. And she looked at me with those deep, beautiful eyes. And I was like, I waved back. And that was kind of it. And then OG was getting his stuff signed. So I kind of now moved to the other end of the table where Felicia was. If I hadn't mentioned that earlier, she was at the opposite end of the table from where I was. So I moved around to that end of the table. And now she said verbally, "Hey, Big Kev." And I said, "Hey, Felicia." And she said, "How's it going?" I'm like, "Good. How's it going with you?" And she goes, "Oh, you know, I'm just taking it easy. It's just the first night. And, you know, I'm just keeping it cool." And I was like, "Okay, well, you keep it cool." And she said, "Okay, you too." Yeah.
Right.
Then I asked her publicist if she had any, if she had a minute or two that she could, you know, let us know what was happening in season three. Absolutely not, Kev. She's totally booked.
Right.
The whole weekend, totally booked. So that was the door just slamming in my face. Yeah.
It is a shame.
It's a shame, really. Who knows, though? Maybe when it gets closer to three, maybe we can get her to call in again. That would be nice. Yeah. So there it is, the awkward Felicia Day story to close out
in San Diego.
Our adventures.
Right.
Yes. And with that, let's take our second break. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 157. San Diego Comic Con. It's like running into the back of a truck. Be right back with the wrap up. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With potshots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots, but they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. With
why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when it's updated and when the website is.
Why don't you have an opinion?
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently. And it's updated three times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. Inhislikeness.com.
Hey, 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 this is Haywood Nelson, Dwayne from What's Happening.
And this is Danielle Spencer, D from What's Happening.
Hey, and this is Ernest Thomas, better known as Raj from What's Happening, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 157. SDCC, it's like running into the back of a truck. Ha ha.
My God, what an epic episode, sir.
Epic.
You know, I was about to ask you what we talked about. There's so much stuff that we talked about. I can't. I don't even want to do this today.
Yeah. Well, why don't we do the plugs?
Okay, why don't we do that?
Don't forget, you can check out each and every episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff over at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com. where we have a plethora of items for you to check out. We have the t-shirts still for sale. In addition to that, we also have video content. Two new videos have gone up since San Diego.
Wow,
two? So we can, we have our live from Studio V, Joker DC Direct, the black and white statue.
Uh-huh.
And we also have some celebrity interviews from back at Chiller. We still had a couple of those lying around in the clinker.
Oh, really?
We got out there. Yeah. Oh. This one was Corbin Benson, Zombie Hunters with Photoshop Mike, and The Flash. God bless his ship, and what's her name?
Amanda.
Her.
No, I can't remember her name.
Whatever her name is.
Amanda Pays.
So those are up there now. We also have over there our hotline. So if there's anything we talked about on tonight's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you feel like you want to comment on, expound upon, correct us, because I'm sure we've gotten something wrong. We always do. You can give us a shout at 425-920-6050 and let us know what you think. You may hear yourself on a future episode of the show.
Yeah, you might think Felicia Day isn't hot. So why don't you call up and express that, idiot?
Silly. We don't play those phone calls because no one would believe that.
Well, who would?
Exactly.
Nobody would call that.
Exactly. Don't forget, you could also check out our joint venture over at geekerdome.com. We've got a bunch of stuff going on over
there.
The network. It's us and Hippo Juice and Flick and Legion of Dudes and Half Hour Wasted and Knights of the Guild and Sir Roland and In His Likeness and I know I'm leaving out half a dozen other shows
and
web comics,
X, Y, and Z
blogs, etc. Wow, I'm a dork. New Wow blogs over there. It's just a bunch of stuff going on over there. So check it out. There are message boards. You can check it out over there too. Don't forget, we also have our message boards over at October Toys. Those are still up and running and participating and kicking, just all over the world, all over.
I'd like to say this.
What?
Big Kev's Geek Stuff live.
Yes, psych.
No, not psych, sir.
Oh, that's right. We have a special episode, right?
Yes. You
from
can
some
check out
Compound or something.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff live. Rumor has it is 1 week from this Saturday, which would make it what?
August 15th.
Now we're going to provide a link on the website so you can get over to where it's at. It's at our what you call it channel.
Our channel. It's going to be the live stream channel.
Yes. It's going to be on our live stream channel. We don't have more details yet, but they will become available on the website as soon as we know more.
And everywhere else, I'm sure.
And yes, we will be
get the word
plugging
out.
The hell out of it. We expect you to do the same. Tell a friend.
Right.
You will be able to call in, I think. We are going to be taking phone calls on that show.
Right.
You will be able to have comments. We're going to have a running... what do they call
chat
that?
Room
chat
with,
room.
Comments, commentary. Yes. We don't know what the hell we're going to talk about yet.
We
but
have
we'll
no
get there.
Idea what we're going to do, but it's going to be live.
That's right. And there's no.
The
I don't
compound.
Think there's a time constraint on this either.
I don't believe there is.
Could be 10 minutes.
Could be two hours.
I'm just saying.
It could be the longest or the shortest episode ever.
That's right.
But it will be live.
It will be live.
So as we attempt to recapture the live Big Kev's Geek Stuff phenomenon from earlier this year.
Right.
This
you've been asking for it. We figured out a way to do it at least once.
Oh, this is step one. Step one. Maybe and then production steps. Tim is going to be helping us through phase two.
Right.
So there it is.
BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, Geekerdome.com, t-shirts, videos, stuff. Bye.
Say, are you a person that would like to be the producer of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff program?
Are we currently taking resumes again?
We are currently taking resumes for producers of this program.
You know, people are going to start to ask us, like, do we kill them?
You know, and people might be like, what do you overwork them? Do you beat them? What do you, it is merely a commitment. That's all.
That is a very prestigious seat.
There is a very...
And many fine people have come and gone.
And you know what happens? And this is the truth. It seems like everybody who sits in that chair gets something better and eventually has to depart.
And that's okay.
And that's fine.
For the most part.
Absolutely. But if you are down on your luck and you're not far from where we're recording the show and you want to gamble on... This might pick you up in some way. You know, I'm just saying, success has spawned out of that chair.
It's your lottery ticket to success. You want Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
That's absolutely right. You want to email geekstuffog at gmail.com.
Or drop me a line at Twitter, twitter.com/geekstuffog. One or the other.
Yeah, because that's much easier than just emailing.
Both ways are accessible. That's all. I'm putting out options. People
call
like
the hotline.
Options. You could call the hotline.
Just saying.
We're accepting resumes.
Sure. Why not? It's a fun-filled free gig.
Sure.
Some people got some good stuff out of it.
Some people want to be part of this show.
Absolutely.
We're putting it out there.
There it is. So, we have no final words.
None.
Except OG's face is really fucked up, yo.
Don't crash into trucks. That's my final words.
And with that, I think we'll exit saddened with the death of John Hughes.
And on that note, we cue the music.